mum's the word. But we're telling everyone. It's BOGO 50% off time at Designer Shoe Warehouse. Just in time for Mother's Day, buy any pair of shoes, get a second qualifying pair 50% off. Treat mom or yourself to the perfect spring styles from must-own brands. And hurry. Unlike a mother's love, this deal won't last forever. So make mom proud and score BOGO 50% off at your DSW store or DSW.com today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Hit. Biggio hits third. Wilson waves him home. Caballero's throw home, not in time. Biggio slides in feet first safely. India goes first to third. Bobby Witt Jr. has his second hit of the game. This one drives in a run. It's 3-0. And Bobby Witt Jr. officially has 1,000 career total bases in 500 career games.
Solid stat there, given out by Jake Eisenberg of the Royals Radio Network that you hear on 96.5 The Fan. Don't forget, they play at 12:10 today, so a little afternoon delight.
Boy,
on
Cody
your Thursday.
And Gold today got a real whopper of a show.
Yeah.
1 hour.
Jeez. You think they just let Drew do it and talk about Joe Burrow? I don't know. Who knows? But we did see a little bit of a, you know, graphic yesterday, and it said baseball references 2025 World Series championship odds. The Cubs, VIP, lead this thing at 15.9%.
Crazy that the Cubs have the best odds right now, right?
Mm-hmm. Detroit, your own divisional rival, is 15%, so the second best. The Royals sit at 13th in odds at 2.9%. Roughly middle of the pack, 13 of the total 30 baseball teams. The bottom 11 have 0.1% chance to win the World Series. Those are the Twins, A's, Marlins. You get it.
Yeah.
But like
even the Blue Jays and Indians, though, at 0.3% for the 0.5% for the Red Sox too. Yeah. I mean, 2.9% is actually a really good number.
Because after them, it's the Braves at 1.5%.
And it's Tampa's right ahead of them at 3.1%. Like, there's only three teams that have a double-digit chance of winning the World Series this year, and the Yankees aren't one of them.
So you're saying there's a chance.
There's a really good chance for the Royals. I mean, you look at those teams that are down in the bottom, the last, I don't know, 20 to 30, 10 teams less than, you know, 0.1% chance to win. The Rockies are in that, you know, kind of fold as well. And the Rockies yesterday actually won a game. They won. They're 5-25 right now. And they lost 16 of 17, so they got that out of the way. They finished April at 5-25.
One more time.
5-25. Mm-hmm. They're well on pace to fall below the modern record of 121 losses set by your White Sox last year. Mm. The Rockies are the first team to lose 24 of their first 28 games since 2003, and they're off to the worst start in modern National League history. So there's no chance for the Colorado Rockies.
No
chance for those guys at all.
And obviously those percentages go up, go down throughout the weeks. But as of right now, 2.9% chance.
Yeah.
Again, better than 16 teams in the league. Like you said, the Yankees are at 8.3. So massive gap there between you and the Yankees. But still, like, massive gap between you and the next team behind you, which is the Braves at 1.5%.
Yeah, and also to put that into perspective so fans can understand like how the percentages work, the Chiefs right now only have an 11.1% chance to win the Super Bowl. And that's big. That is a big percentage chance. Mm-hmm. I think the Eagles, what do we say, like 13.5% or
13.3.
Something like that, and whatnot. And they're the favorites, right, at 13.3%. Yep. So it tells you, like, kind of put that in perspective. Chiefs are considered the best team in their sport. You know, the Eagles considered one of the best teams in their sport. They only have a 13% and 11% chance of winning the Super Bowl. The Royals aren't considered one of the best teams in their sport, and they have a 2.9% chance to win the World Series. So perspective is, I mean, the Royals are right on pace to make it into the postseason. Are they a World Series team? No. I don't know that any team right now, though, in baseball, Dusty, jumps out at me. He's like, that's a World Series team right now. Yeah, the Cubs are a really good team. They've got pitching. They've got defense. They've got offense. They're kind of a fun team to watch. But everything kind of goes in cycles in baseball. I don't know who the favorite is right now. A month ago, we were singing the praises of the Dodgers. They kind of came back down to earth.
Same with the Padres.
And the Padres, about they just swept the Giants right over the last three games.
But before that, I think they were like 2-7 in their last nine. Yep. before the yes. Giants series.
Yes, they were. Right. So, like, we're mad at the Royals going 2-8. One of the best teams in baseball, the Padres, went 2-7. And they figured out a way to bounce back, and nobody's panicking over the, you know, the Padres having that little bit of a swoon, just like nobody should be panicking over the Royals having that little bit of a swoon, because here we are back now. They've lost one time since that road trip ended in Cleveland, New York, and wherever the hell they have finished that thing up. So they've only lost one time since then, Detroit. They've lost one game since then, and that was Sunday. They're playing good baseball right now.
Yeah, and then you obviously got to think that they would, which you talk about how minute these numbers can be, because the two teams in front of the Royals that, you know, 3.6% for San Francisco. They just got swept. That number's probably down.
Yeah.
Tampa Bay, 3.1%. They could be getting swept by the Royals after today. That would go, you would go above them.
Above them.
So then you would be a top 10 team to possibly win the World Series. You're in the conversation. This is real talk.
Yeah.
You're in the conversation with the Cubs, Dodgers, Mets, Tigers, Yankees, Brewers, Arizona.
Arizona. They're a good team, too.
They're in a tough division, but they're a great team.
Yep.
Welcome to every playoff team in the NL West, minus one. The Colorado Rockies won't make it, but everybody else will probably make the playoffs in that division. But no, it's crazy because you also get the numbers with the Chiefs as well. As you look this up, 55% chance to win the AFC West.
Yeah, right.
As of today.
Yeah.
That shows you where everybody still believes. Like,
yeah,
the West, and you're going to have people out there that say, oh, the Chiefs are in trouble now. Look at what the Raiders did. Look at what the Broncos have done. Look at what the Chargers are going to do. Man, I'll tell you what. Still, as of right now, you have a more than 50% chance to win your division, which it should be, every year, as long as you have Reed and Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes running the realm. But that shows you like where the belief is in the AFC West as well, because 55%, 11% to win the Super Bowl, which is, you know, it's obviously hard to make those odds. Like, you could do this in golf, too, with Scottie Scheffler. Like, he's plus, like, 280 to win a golf tournament. Insane odds. Like, that's insane. To win an entire tournament in 4 days at plus, like, 280. Normally, it's, like, plus 1,500, plus 1,200, you know, stuff like that. The Royals being in this conversation, this, you know, already in the season, we're into May, we're out of the first month of April, you're 500. And then the Chiefs still have that conversation that they're 55% chance to win the AFC West, which means they, again, are another playoff team. Sports are pretty good right now in Kansas City.
Seven of those teams that are ahead of the Royals, too, and odds are National League teams, right? So you take them out, and the only American League teams with better odds to win the World Series, Detroit at 15%, which is a huge effing number, the Yankees, Houston, Seattle, and Tampa. And that is it.
And those you're going to leap Tampa. You just took two out of three from Houston. You've yet to play Seattle.
And that's exactly right. And Seattle or Houston still at 8% too, which is pretty wild to me. But yeah, you've beaten Houston and you're getting ready to sweep the Tampa Bay Rays today, you know, down in Tampa. So you'll pass them up. So there's not many teams right now that the odds makers or whoever you want to say, you know, are looking out there saying that are better than the Royals in the American League. And that's why they stand a great chance of making it into the playoffs, because they are playing good baseball and the rest of baseball just isn't playing great baseball right now. So you take advantage of that. I mean, Cleveland's behind the Royals in odds. You've got the Twins behind the Royals in odds. You've got the White Sox behind the Royals in odds. Those are three teams right now that are in your division that you need to make a living against, just like you did with the White Sox last year, right? Mm-hmm. And the White Sox, by the way, are on pace to have their same record as a season ago.
Brutal.
They are, what, 7-22 I saw yesterday, the exact same record they were at this point of the season last year at 7-22. And so you've got to take advantage. And if the Royals just take advantage of these bottom feeders in their division, there's no way they miss the playoffs this year.
Be nice. I mean, think about that. You know, last year, like, just get us to July, get us to training camp, get us to where we can get, you know, where we can have this conversation of like, who looks great in, you know, t-shirts and shorts while also you're still playing good baseball. That expectation is no longer. Your expectation now is get back to the divisional series and put up a fight.
Yeah, and what also, too, I mean, we take away from yesterday's game, if Noah Cameron continues to pitch like he did, and nobody's saying he is because we see great starts and then people come back down to earth, But if he continues to pitch at this level, now all of a sudden you've got yourself an opportunity to maybe trade one of your starting pitchers. And it doesn't have to be Cameron or any, you know, it could be anybody at this point in time. Now, all of a sudden with his emergence, now all of a sudden you've got a surplus in that rotation and you can look around the rest of baseball and say, you need a pitcher, we need a hitter. Let's do business. And so if Noah Cameron continues to pitch the way that he did and continues to move forward and progress as a pitcher, now all of a sudden you've got a surplus at a spot where a lot of teams do not have a surplus in Major League Baseball.
Coming up on the other side, we get to one word. But before we do that, we get to our guy, Ben Maller. He will join us next here on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
Hey, it's Vinny Pasquantino, and you're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your home for Royals baseball, 96.5 The Fan.
It is time to talk to our guy, Ben Maller of Fox Sports Radio. Of course, you can hear him overnights right here on 96.5 The Fan, and it's all brought to you by the good folks at The Landing in Liberty. And Ben, let's kind of start at The Landing in Liberty where we were last week for the NFL draft. It's over. It's subsided. But my God, prank calls. You would have thought somebody did something so completely wrong with the prank calls, the Shador Sanders and everybody else. That's the scandal that came out of the NFL draft. What a world, huh?
Yeah, what a world. It's so crazy, Bob. Like, we're around the same age, and it's good to be on with you guys and Dusty and all that. And I grew up in the era where when I think of iconic moments, I was a fan of radio growing up. Some of my favorite memories are phony phone calls by morning shows. Like, that was just a staple of my childhood. So when I see all these comments from people getting bogged down because of a phony phone call, it's like, that's not the coolest thing in the world. But a $100,000 fine seems a little excessive for the defensive coordinator of the Atlanta Falcons, a little much. It's to the point now where I'm starting to think there's some kind of like psyop going on. There's some kind of manipulation that this cannot possibly be real, that there's that many people who are up in arms because of a phony phone call between a couple of rich kids. It just blows me away. That's like anywhere from 3 to 10% of the guy's salary. And the story they told us is Jeff Ulbrich, the defensive coordinator, didn't even know about it. It's just wild. It is insane the amount of attention that's gotten. And I can't get enough of the people who are real people in the media, guys, who are virtue signaling, trying to get attention and trying to one-up everyone else that they're more virtuous than everyone because they would never laugh at a phony phone call. Come on.
Yeah, come on. It's hysterical. It's funny. It's time to move on from that. But if Shador Sanders isn't live streaming everything, nobody knows about this. There were other guys that were pranked as well, and they weren't live streaming everything. Is that part of the reason why you think Shador slid all the way to pick 144?
If you read everything after the fact, I love the after the fact. Like before the draft, it was like, well, he'll be drafted in the first round. Maybe he goes down to number 21 to Pittsburgh, but he's not going to fall down to like 140, whatever. Well, I mean, that's not going to happen. So like the whole thing is like, I've known people like this in growing up, and I'm sure you guys have. We've all known that person that's just totally obtuse. Like they're that one friend who's really wealthy that doesn't quite understand that not everyone's as wealthy as them. And they didn't, you know, grow up in that same situation and all that. And it's just like, there's that. And it would appear based on putting the clues together that he's just not that good to make up for the attitude that he has. But is this the standard rate, by the way, 100,000, if there's another phony phone call, if they get they find the person, that's the rate now that this has been set by the NFL, that every phony phone call is worth $100,000. I said last night on the overnight show, I was like, the NFL ought to send a gift basket. This added to the draft. They should send chocolates to Jeff Ulbrich and his kid because this was another layer. This actually made Shador Sanders seem, to some people, sympathetic. Like he was somehow aggrieved here. This is like the worst thing ever. So it actually wasn't horrific in that regard. It actually helped the draft and the ratings were great.
Yeah, so I think the other thing that's kind of interesting about this is, obviously I've gone down a rabbit hole on these fines and this phone call, is that like the NFL is like kind of concerned that, yeah, it's prank calls today, but like what other information can get leaked by having this sort of thing happen? Like how does it affect gambling, right? Like how can it affect that? How can it affect like information that's not meant to be kept inside? Because if they can get phone numbers, they can get injury reports, they can get you know, trade deadline stuff, they can get all this sort of stuff and leak it out. So I think it's like, you ask about the hefty fine. I think the answer is because, like, yeah, it's a prank call. Haha. Like, it's all fun and games until somebody gets hurt, right? And now there's things that, like, peel back. And we know this society. Like, we know how these things work. You start with one thing, and then by the end of the year, it's like, oh, yeah, it all started from this little seed that now is this, like, egregious plant.
Well, there's always going to be that. And gambling's been around forever. It's now legal most places. Not where I am, of course, sports gambling. But, like the whole that to me, that argument doesn't really work because the information's always been traded. Like going back, I interviewed Brent Musburger years ago, and he's going to the Hall of Fame this year. And Musburger is one of my favorite stories. He told me that when he was doing the CBS NFL stuff, the reason he started saying "you're looking live" is for gamblers, for his buddies who needed a weather update on the NFL games they were betting on, and sometimes they would show B-roll that was recorded. So when it was live, he would say it's live, so they knew the weather, they knew how to bet. So it's always been going on, right? Information, and like certain people have it, and there are people that make a lot of money. I would argue there are people that feed information and get paid a fair amount. I mean, it's always going to be the case. It's a little harder to do it now, actually, because everything's digital. Everything's text messages. And so you're leaving a lot of digital fingerprints back. So it's hard to outfox the NFL in that regard.
Talking with Ben Maller of Fox Sports Radio, and I'm just going to say the name and you just go, Bill Belichick.
Love it, love it, love it. And the price of love. If you, this is an important lesson. We're getting older, so if somehow our marriages don't work out, and we're looking to hang out with a younger woman, 49 years our junior, the price on that is $8 million in a Porsche. That's the price. $8 million and a Porsche. This young lady who was a cheerleader, she was 20 years old. She was doing makeup. Now has over $8 million in real estate and a $75,000 Porsche. I might want to hang out with Bill Belichick. I don't know. I don't think I'm his type, but that seems like a pretty good deal. I've been doing overnight radio for a while. I haven't come close to $8 million and a Porsche. So I'm doing something wrong. I'm clearly doing something wrong. Good for her. Good for him. If I was Belichick's kids, I probably wouldn't like this. I would call for an intervention. I love the story. I also like the fact that Belichick is now at war. He's channeling the president, like he's doing though, like what President Trump did. He's doing the same game plan to try to release the tapes and all that with CBS. It's a wonderful story. I'm worried though he's going to lose his job at North Carolina, and then we won't have the story anymore. I hope he continues. I want to see this work out, and I'm all about it. I can't wait to see what's next. Then every day I wake up from my sleep and there's something new. It's great.
Speaking of another story, and Bob gave you one name, I'm going to give you another name. Lakers.
Yes, Lakers were a pinata. It is wonderful. I am surrounded. Listen, Dusty, I've met you. I've obviously known Bob for many years. I am surrounded by Laker honks. Okay, I can't stand these people. They drive me insane. They think that the Lakers is like a religion. It's wild, and all the hype and all the nonsense. And the Lakers win one playoff game. One. They lost twice at home. They were the higher seed. They got outplayed in the fourth quarter every single game, outscored by 42 points by Minnesota. It's one of my favorite stories. I was on a Schadenfreude high. I did a monologue about this on the overnight show. I was ranting, and people were getting upset. I was getting calls from people attacking me because I was pointing out the truth. It's a wonderful story. Somewhere in Dallas, Nico Harrison poured one out for Luka to celebrate the downfall. But it was just wild. Every game they were in, every game they got outplayed. And you're not supposed to have that happen. And then you had J.J. Redick, who had a meltdown before the game because someone dared question his rotation, as he was the only coach in NBA history to play all five starters in the fourth quarter of that previous playoff game. And he's just the kind of guy you cheer against. So like the whole thing, it's just a wonderful story. You got that the other day, Doc Rivers melting down. So these are fun stories in basketball. I'm enjoying the first round of the playoffs. These are good stories.
And look, the ratings have been great, and you got a father on the court trying to start fights with Giannis. And so you got that kind of backstory going on, you know, with the NBA postseason and whatnot. You got the Knicks and Pistons doing their thing. It has been a pretty good run, you know, in the postseason. If you're Giannis though, man, I got to give that guy a lot of credit for not popping Halliburton's father.
Yeah, and then now there's some people defending Halliburton's father. Like, what are you doing on the court? You don't need to be on the court. You don't take, you know, you don't need to, your parents can be there. I get it. It's fine. But you don't need to be on the court. There's no need to be out there. What are you doing? It was so funny, though. I thought, I don't know if you thought the same thing, guys. Watching that clip, it was like written by WWF writers from back in the 80s. You had Halliburton's kid on the scoring table, on the scorer's table, thinking they won the championship with his hands in the air like he's conducting the, you know, the orchestra, and his dad is getting into it with the star of the other team on the court behind him. If that had been written, you'd say, oh, that's never going to happen. It happened. It happened on the court right after an NBA game. It's so ridiculous. And it's just a lot of fun. I'm enjoying it. And not even so much the actual games on the court, but just everything around the court, which has been one of the arguments. This is the thing that baseball wants, that baseball doesn't provide us these kind of stories. We don't get that in baseball. We don't.
Yeah, because you don't really sit on the court in baseball. Like, it's kind of hard to have that sort of, like, interaction. But I do think it is – I think it's interesting for the NBA, but I think the NBA is trying to figure a bunch of stuff out all at once. Like, what was that movie with the guy from Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom, Short Round, everything all at once, all at the same time, or whatever, with the hot dog fingers? I think that's what the NBA is trying to do, is figure everything out because, look, this Knicks-Pistons series has been great. You're going to have a fight in another series. It seems like everybody's fighting in every other series. And now you've got, like you said, WWE. I think we need more WWE in sports. I think we need a bunch of, like, I'm not saying we need, like, choreographed, like, fighting or choreographed, like, arguments or make-believe stuff. But maybe let the envelope be pushed a little bit more because, in all honesty, Ben, when's the last time someone seriously gotten hurt over a fight in a sport outside of maybe Jose Bautista getting absolutely clocked at second base, like, 10 years ago?
Yeah, most fights are, get out of my way. And then there's like three teammates in front of them. The funniest in basketball, when they wait for their teammates to protect them, when they're like, they're posing, they're striking, like they're boxing pose, like they're ready to bob and weave. But they're actually waiting for two guys to get in front of them so they don't actually have to throw a punch or anything like that. I mean, another good underrated story, Steve Kerr giving up on a playoff game last night for the Warriors, which was great. And I'm right there with you, Dusty, on the WWE stuff. It's just fun to talk about. But I don't want it to be written. I just want it to happen organically, which it usually does in basketball. But then you had Steve Kerr give up a playoff game that was within reach in the fourth quarter, not put his starters back in. You also had him say he was complaining about Steph Curry's not playing well the last couple of games. And Kerr was complaining about the defense, how they're being too physical, which – isn't that an indictment that Kerr couldn't play back in the 90s when they did play physical defense? So that did, like, everything is just like, it's great. It's wonderful.
Ben, as always, we appreciate the time. We got the Kentucky Derby this weekend. Enjoy watching the horse race, and we will talk to you again next week.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Peace. That's Ben Maller with Fox Sports Radio. It's all brought to you by our good friends over at The Landing in Liberty, where we were for the draft party 1 week ago. I can't believe it's been a week already since the draft party at The Landing in Liberty.
Spilled my beer all over you.
Getting people that have sending text messages. They're craving the pretzels and the Ben Maller chicken fingers, the dry rub, and everybody's loving, you know, what's going on at The Landing, including Ben Maller, who hates the Lakers, which I think is hysterical. I absolutely love it's the awesome. Hate and the... And the pettiness that he has towards the Lakers. But when you're a Clipper fan, of course you're going to hate the same team or your rival team in town, right? So that's cool. I like that, that he hates them as well. And it's an easy target too, man.
Of course.
It really is.
Yeah.
It's such an easy target with LeBron, right?
And now Luka, yeah.
And now Luka, right? Yeah.
Yeah, and J.J. Redick storming off his press conference when he got asked a question last night.
Yeah. I mean, he's not used to that with the podcast. Him and Gottlieb need to have a conversation.
From the 479, how about those Wolves, Dusty? The Lakers suck. Love seeing Luka cry like a bee. Oh, man.
Luka couldn't guard a chair, says Charles.
Yeah, he couldn't.
And I saw a couple of videos of that, and I'm like, oh, God, right? Like, the whole NBA guys don't play defense thing I hate, as we talked about yesterday, but there are exceptions to every rule, and Luka basically standing there on the defensive end yesterday with two guys around him just picking his ass.
Nice.
Everybody's just... tweeting La Flop. La Loser is what they said in
La Loser, huh?
See you later, La Loser.
One word.
First name is Blank, and he goes on a cruise. He goes on a Caribbean cruise.
Katie Holmes.
No. Ah!
Are you listening?
What's your least favorite thing about working with yourself?
Body odor.
You get one word.
On the count of three.
Name your favorite dinosaur. One, two, three. Velociraptor.
This is One Word on Fesco and Dusty.
Take it away, Momo.
All right. One word. Damn it. One word.
That's the one word to Momo?
No, loving.
Oh.
Love Momo. One word.
Say it in your chest.
I love my mother.
There you go. You were really kind of, it kind of trailed off there. I love my mother.
Well, I was going to say, she's not my Momo.
How Bob it's, met your mother?
My mother.
Jefferson's.
One word on.
And her friend.
Let's start with the Lakers.
Okay.
One word on the Lakers.
Funny. Yeah. Schadenfreude is really what it is. Happiness at the misfortune of others.
It is.
Like certain teams, you just have that Schadenfreude with. The Lakers, the Yankees, the Dodgers. I'm sure some have it with the Chiefs. I'm with the Cowboys. You know, we all have those teams. The Lakers are one of those teams. So Schadenfreude is mine.
Disappointing. Proven. Right? Everyone said the Wolves are going to win in five, minus this guy sitting in this chair. Once again, I did not go to a Lakers game, so I can't be at the fault for their losing.
No, it's not your fault.
You did buy that Luka jersey, though.
I did.
Yeah.
So I did buy the Luka jersey way back in February. Hammered on my couch, texting Mac at like 11:40 on a Friday.
Just got this.
Check this out. He's like, let's go.
Yeah, and then you're like, I got my October ready jersey, too.
And gone. So... Not the smartest guy in the room. I can honestly tell you that every day of my life. KMB News.
One word on the Timberwolves advancing.
Boring.
I knew it.
The Lakers advancing are better. It just is. It's a better story from the national perspective, but boring for Minnesota. We'll see.
Ant-Man. Taking laps inside and outside the stadium, trolling fans, giving them the business. Good luck next round, because you're just building yourself bigger shoes to fill. You want to be the face or the heel of the league? I'm all for it. You have the personality for either one. You have the game. You have the superstardom. You have the explosiveness. The guy can jump from the free throw line and be an elbow above the rim. It's nasty. But what he did last night, Ant-Man, baby, you beat the Lakers in their house and then took victory laps around their stadium. Mocking fans, mocking sportscasters, Ant-Man, Superman, the man, I don't give a blank, Wolves in five is what he was saying.
Yep.
So now the Wolves have to go out there and take care of business, right? Now that they're kind of talking a little smack back, who are they playing in the next round?
The Rockets or the Warriors?
Yep. Warriors are up 3-2. They're coming back to Golden State. They'll play tomorrow.
And win.
I would assume win. We'll see. It'll be fun. It'll be a fun series. But
Warriors versus Timberwolves. The old face versus the new face.
That's kind of what it is. You know, this is the narrative. He beat Kevin Durant last year. That was his favorite player, his idol. There's a great picture of them kind of snarling at each other.
Yeah.
He beats LeBron James. That picture of them kind of snarling at each other and his foe, Luka, who he lost to. And now it's like, hey, you get to take down another legend in Steph Curry.
You know,
so that's kind of the narrative.
You get a couple storylines. You get Draymond Green and Anthony Edwards.
Yep.
They will not back down either or.
I do like that storyline.
You also have Rudy Gobert and Draymond Green.
Rudy Gobert, a little credit for his game last
Great
night.
Great game, Rudy.
14 for 14 from the three-point line or something ridiculous. I mean, like, the guy was crazy last night.
27 points, 21 rebounds.
I was going to say 24 and 25 or something like that.
That's got to be like a career high in points for him, right?
Oh, yeah, he realized he was 7 feet tall and playing the Lakers. Yeah. Good job, Rudy.
Absolutely. Nice. Like, nobody's going to protect the rim for the Lakers,
dunk
right?
It. Yeah.
Go over the top. I think Charles said last night they need, like, James Worthy and Dr. J back there protecting the rim.
No, it was awesome. Shaq doesn't like Rudy Gobert, but at halftime he had to talk about Rudy because he was so good. So he's like, Rudy.
Well, Rudy Gobert was patient zero for COVID, and that's what everybody always has him in mind as, yours truly included, right? And you think about him touching microphones and all that kind of stuff. And then he went out there and dominated last night. And so it'll be interesting. Like, Minnesota needs probably to get to the finals for Anthony Edwards to truly be able to be that face of the league. You can't be the face of the league playing in Minnesota losing in the second round, right? If they lose to Golden State, it's hard to make somebody the new face of the league if they're not playing in the biggest games.
Yeah,
you know?
He made it to the Western Conference Finals last year and beat LeBron in the first round this year. He's doing a hell of a job to get there.
He is. Yep, only 24 years old.
And he's bigger than you.
Before we get to the Royals, one word on Ulbrich, Jeff Ulbrich, getting fined.
Stupid.
Fined about an eighth of his salary.
Yeah, he was fined $100,000. Yep. He makes $800,000. He was fined $100,000 yesterday.
All due to the prank call from his son to Shedeur Sanders.
I mean, my God.
$800,000? Darn.
Acting like the guy did something evil and wrong. And $100,000, and then $250,000 for the franchise?
Yeah.
Come on. So stupid. It's the dumbest thing in sports right now.
It's hefty,
people
man.
Talk about prank calls.
Hefty fine. It's not about the call. It's about the information.
Hefty, hefty, hefty.
Good trash bags.
Stinky, stinky.
Yeah. I'm so out of this one. Like, I just, like, he made a prank call. Big deal. Move on with life. Everybody got pranked.
I don't think it's about the prank call, though. I think it's about the fact that he got the numbers and got the information. I think the prank call is just like the cherry on top of the fine. I think the severity of the fine is the fact that, like, he had information that no one else was supposed to get, and it was gettable.
But what about the other people who got pranked, you know? Like Abdul Carter saying he got prank called, right?
Tyler Warren. Yeah.
Tyler Warren
was it all from the same guy?
No.
I don't know.
It was not.
I know that for a fact?
Yeah, they said yesterday the NFL has said they're investigating. Like, what a waste of time, too. But in investigating this, they said none of them are connected.
Well, this one was the only idiot to film himself doing it.
That's Shador. I mean, live streaming this stuff. I mean,
no, it was. I'm talking about the guy that.
Oh,
that
the guy that did it. But I think if Shador doesn't live stream it too, if he doesn't live stream the thing, like maybe we're not sitting here. How many of the
could be
people
different.
Are looked at Jackson Ulbricht's? You know, I mean, like.
But again, we're also doing the same thing. If he does live stream and does get drafted in a life changing moment, it's cool that we get to see that in real life and real person. Like we've seen that before with like people getting drafted.
So, but I like mean, ESPN and all those places got the cameras there, you know?
Okay, before we get out of here, got to hear your thoughts on the Royals. One word.
Awesome. They're above 500 after April. That's great. It's a great spot to be in. Not many teams are there. It's awesome right now.
Refreshing, right? You're in May. You got a schedule release for the NFL. If you're not an NBA fan, I'm sorry. But if you're not a hockey fan, you don't. I mean, you have a baseball team now in your town that is winning. And they're doing it with their pitching and their superstar, and they're above 500, like Bob said, going into May. It's refreshing. You get to get into May, and it's like, yeah, they had a six-game losing streak, followed by a six-game winning streak, followed by series win after series win, going for a series sweep. It's refreshing.
And
it's
now awesome. You can just expect them to be good. Like you yep. should have that expectation now as a Royals fan. We're going into May. They're one of the top teams in baseball. You should be very excited about where this ball club is right now, because as the page turns to May, now we're starting to figure out who we are. As a team, the Royals are a hell of a pitching team. Nobody in baseball can hit, but the Royals are a hell of a pitching team right now.
Yeah, it's fun, man. It's great because there's nothing better for me in the summer to be able to go home on a Tuesday after a show and be like, what am I going to do tonight? Prep dinner, put the Royals on, go to bed, and hopefully watch a winning ball club every single time that we do this. So, yeah, it's great. It's awesome, man. Honestly, I hope they keep going. I hope they get to a point where they're like 10 to 15 games above 500, and then you can really – you know, start to relax. But again, you know this, Sounder. Oh, never mind.
It's a good one.
It is.
Finally, I'm one of those guys who can't wait to get to work in the morning. Like a dairy cow.
Ah! Oh! Oh, yes! Yes!
This is the 100-plus Kentucky Derby coming up. That is the Sounder for Booth Creek Wagyu, KC's best steaks now with two locations, 95th and Nall and 135th and Metcalf. If you are the 150th caller, I'm kidding, caller number 5.
No, I like 150.
You don't have to answer the phones.
I know. That's why I like it.
Caller number 5 that? On the other side, when you hear that Sounder, you have a chance to win some Booth Creek Wagyu from KC's best steaks now with two locations, 95th and Nall and 135th and Metcalf, as we get to smash or pass on the other side. Here on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your new home for Royals baseball. 96.5 The Fan.
Music courtesy of Young Joka. Kadropius Tony. I kid. This is what I would feel like his.
Well, his stuff isn't licensed, so we could probably play his music here, right?
Is Darren Wallers?
Is he still a thing?
He's rapping, oh, man, yeah, outside man? Of Allegiant Stadium.
Okay, so he's homeless, collecting money? Is that what it is?
I don't think he's homeless. The Giants gave him a lot of money that he didn't.
Well,
live up to.
I mean, yeah. Maybe he spent it all on, you know, rap things. I see a lot of people in Vegas on street corners singing. There was one when we were out there in. March, and I mean, I swear to God, she was as good as Aretha Franklin singing Aretha Franklin songs. I'm like, wow, there are some talented, talented people out there that can sing. I don't know that Darren Waller's one of them.
You put some RESPCT on her name.
Woo!
All right, 7:45, smash your pastime here on Fesco and Dusty with Mac Morey as well. It is the Kentucky Derby themed menu on Smash or Pass. Don't forget.
I mean, this came up like fast. I wasn't ready for the Kentucky Derby.
Don't worry. It'll take all day on Saturday to get there.
I know it does, right? Like for a 2-minute race, it's got people talk about football pregame shows and whatnot. Like this pregame show for a horse race is excruciatingly long. And so, yeah, but I just like, I feel like there's not a hype for the Kentucky Derby right now. You know, I guess because the Royals are doing their thing. We're just off the draft. I mean, like, it just doesn't feel like there's a lot of hype for this horse race coming up.
So, Mac, do you want to read these? I feel like your voice is better when you read these, or I can read them. But there's a lot of passes on this list that you sent us from the Kentucky Derby.
You're not liking the list? Okay, well, let's start. Let's start with sausage stuffed peppers.
See, I would go ground beef stuffed peppers, not sausage. I would pass on that one because ground beef stuffed peppers are freaking awesome.
They're awesome. Hannah just made them the other day. She makes them all the time.
I love stuffed peppers. I wouldn't do it with sausage, though. I'd have to pass on that one. Now I'd probably eat and go, oh my God, this is so good.
This
immediately I'm like, no, I like my ground beef stuffed peppers. Leave me alone, sausage.
I'm okay with the sausage. One of the rares that I would smash on this list is the sausage stuffed peppers.
You ever had it with ground turkey? It's also very good with ground turkey instead of ground beef. Nope. And healthy.
Cool.
Bourbon balls.
I'm sorry?
What are those?
Bourbon balls. For Kentucky Derby party food option with a sweet side, bourbon balls are bound to win over your guests and disappear from the dessert table.
Gas?
What are they?
Delicious rounds of bourbon-soaked pecans, butter, and powdered sugar enclosed in a dark chocolate coating, sprinkled with crunchy pecan
bits. You said melted
bits.
Butter and pecans.
I'm good, man. Yeah. No thanks.
And Bob said,
smash.
I'm not a sweet lord, though.
Yeah, that's not your thing.
And that seems like a sweet-salty combination that I'm steering all the way away from.
Well, a sweet-salty combination that you may like, sweet potato biscuits.
Now that looks good.
After forming round rolls, brush with melted butter, bake until golden brown, serve with butter or a spoonful of honey for an extra sweet touch.
Yeah, I'm in on that. Yeah, sweet potato biscuits sound really good.
I wouldn't pass immediately. If we're doing it one or the other, I probably would smash because I feel like that would be a nice, delightful treat. Yes. I've never had it either, so I feel like that'd be kind of delightful.
Mashed sweet potatoes, buttermilk, bacon. That sounds good.
Sounds heavy.
I got some sweet potatoes at home. I may try to make some pancakes.
There we go.
Sweet potato pancakes.
Smash.
Kentucky beer cheese.
I assume it's just like beer cheese.
Beer cheese.
It just says
cheddar
Kentucky
cheese,
in front of it.
Stout beer, spices, cream cheese, and a kick of Worcestershire.
Oh, cream cheese?
Oh, I'm in. Yeah. Dip a little pretzel bite in there.
Yeah, that sounds great. Yeah. Bob's Bavarian pretzel with some Kentucky beer cheese. Come on, Bob.
Once you said cream cheese, I was kind of out.
I think,
he's not a cream lord. Remember, he doesn't like Alfredo-y stuff, potato soup. Yeah.
But if you gave like regular. Like cheese sauce, like beer cheese or something like that. Yes, but once you mention that cream cheese, I'm like, I feel like there's going to be just like chunks of it in there, and I'm out.
Okay, this should be an easy smash. Fried chicken.
Yeah,
I'm not a fried chicken guy.
What?
Yeah, I'm not a huge fan, so I'm out. It's fine.
No fried chicken.
Nah, especially in a suit at a racetrack.
Okay, that's fair. I'm not picturing eating these things at the Derby. I was picturing making them at home. That's fair. You're right.
Smash all day, every day. Fried chicken cold is one of my favorite meals.
Same. Yep.
Love cold fried chicken.
Yep, next day in the fridge, just take it straight out, absolutely.
When Gam Gam came to town and we had to get the bucket of KFC, I was more excited for the next day or at midnight.
There was leftovers?
Oh, yeah. Gam Gam only ate a leg. And then you'd go in there about midnight and just smash a breast, cold, looking like The Last of Us, like those clickers in The Last of Us. You turn the light on, I'd come after you, you know. Like,
smash.
Yeah.
A hot brown sandwich.
I'm out. No, dude, I don't eat meatloaf. I don't eat sloppy joes. I'm not eating a hot brown sandwich.
It is an open-faced sandwich designed with a combination of turkey, bacon, tomatoes, hot tomatoes. I'm out.
I'm out, dude.
Sorry.
I don't want anything hot and brown.
I'm like, all right, I can go turkey, bacon, tomato.
On Texas toast?
I'm good.
Yeah.
You'd bring Texas into Kentucky?
It's served with a rich Mornay sauce. Is that made by Rebecca DeMore? I mean, like, what are we doing here with that?
Nope. I'm good. Hot brown sandwich. Pass.
Macaroni salad?
This picture of this macaroni salad looks terrible.
Really?
Yeah. Ew. See, I love macaroni salad.
Oh, I think it looks awesome.
There's probably one weekend a year where I say, go get macaroni salad, Jen. And I eat it, and then I've had my fill for a year. This macaroni salad looks like something that, I don't know. It does not appeal to
me
in that picture.
Noodles and mayonnaise.
Yeah, it looks like noodles, mayonnaise, and tomatoes. Some peas.
Even if I go to, like, Hawaiian Brothers, I get rice and pineapple. I don't get macaroni salad. Woof. Woofta. No thanks. Pass on macaroni salad.
This name is a pass, but I think you guys might smash. We'll see. burgoo. This is a stew filled with herbs, vegetables, several types of meat, such as chicken, chuck roast, and pork shoulder, then simmered over several hours.
I try that.
That's another one of those randoms at Kentucky Derby. Like, you eating that in a suit?
In a suit, and yeah, that's...
It's a weird combination of chicken, pork, and beef into one thing, yeah. Right?
I do like stews.
That does sound very Southern. Is there squirrel in this? Because I know in the South they eat a lot of rodents.
If Xavier Leggett was cooking it, yeah, absolutely it would be.
Burgers.
Burgers.
I think I would smash.
Yeah, I'm smashing.
Yeah, I would absolutely.
Get a little piece of bread to dip it in there. I'm a bread lord.
Well, it says serve it with cornbread, muffins, biscuits, or crunchy French bread.
French bread, baby, all
See,
day.
I've got a little bit of a Creole in that for me, you know?
It's like Kentucky B-touffee.
Kentucky mule?
Smash.
Yeah, I'm not a mule guy. I'm not a ginger. You know, I feel like ginger for me.
Oh, they have souls.
Ginger for me always reminds me of like being sick when I was a kid because that's what they gave you, ginger ale and wonton soup and saltine. So every time I smell, get near ginger ale, ginger, I'm like, this reminds me of being sick and watching the, you know, The Price is Right with Bob Barker and wanting a Craftmatic adjustable bed.
We're all 10 years apart. So like that was his sick meal. I don't know if this was yours. Mine was Campbell's chicken noodle soup, Sprite or Gatorade, saltine crackers, same TV show. So Price is Right, you know, whatever during the day.
Yeah, it's pretty much the same thing. I mean, my grandmother would go to the Chinese restaurant and get me wonton soup because I always liked that.
I'll be down with that.
Which is great.
That's awesome.
And then, ginger ale. And then saltines, you know.
Right.
So I just, it's like every time I'm sick or somebody's sick, it's like, get ginger ale. I'm like,
Finally, I'm one of those guys who can't wait to get to work in the morning. Like a dairy cow.
Oh, yes!
That's the sound of your caller number 5. Mac, you got any more smash
or passes? Give me the Bullet or Woodford Reserve I'm in. There's no question about that. You know, I don't need anything else added to that, including us.
I'm a mule lord, so smash on that. Pigs in a blanket.
Yes.
Yeah, those are always good.
Yeah,
those are
standards. Nobody's saying no to that,
is
right?
Is that with the cheese in the inside, wrapped with a croissant around it, or do you not
cheese? No cheese.
Just a croissant and mini hot dogs?
That's all it is.
And dipping sauces? Like, yeah.
So pigs in a blanket, the original doesn't have cheese?
No.
Okay, I thought it did.
Pasta salad? We said no on macaroni.
What's the difference?
This one looked like it was vinegar-based, not mayo-based, and it's with farfalle, not the elbow.
Okay.
I love pasta salad. I make a pasta salad. I like vinegary-based types of salads.
But if you do too much of that vinegar and it's like sitting in the bottom of the bowl, like, you know.
Yeah.
And where the pasta gets like mushy.
Mm.
Yeah, you're not a pasta salad. You're once a year, like you said.
Yeah, once a year, I'm fine. If it's there, I may eat it, you know. But I'm also, I'm weird, man. Like, I feel food poisoning, maybe. How do they store this? You know.
I did get food poisoning from pasta salad once. So that is
fair. Once you get it from something, you're like,
I haven't
gone
back since. Banana pudding, then we're done.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, easy. Okay, good. Just figured we were on the same
page. Yeah, I think of the puddings, of all puddings, banana pudding is number one.
I mean, there's a place called Magnolia. You can order banana pudding online. They're in New York, and I think a couple other. Oh, my God.
Okay.
It is fantastic.
I will.
Somebody says, which I don't know if you guys knew this, and I know Bob found out this morning, Carrington's out for the rest of the week. You know why, Mac?
Why is that?
Kentucky Derby.
No way.
Yeah, he's going with his mom and his
sister. Cool.
That's awesome, man.
Yeah, it really is. I'm excited for him.
That's cool. I'm excited to see what he wears.
Gotta say, I'm a little bit jealous about that, too. Like, I'd like to go.
Is that a bucket?
Probably, but I want to do it like, and I know this is so stupid the way that I'm going to say, like, just like, is there a way that you can like helicopter me in so I don't have to deal with all the crowds? And then I'm just going watching on the infield, you are AH to elbows down there, man. Like, and if you got a pee and things like that.
I think Cody knows a guy. Coming up on the other side here on Fesco and Dusty, we will get into the Bill Belichick statement that continues to go. Yes, roll your eyes, but there are more and more of this news. And don't forget, that was Smash or Pass brought to you by Booth Creek Wagyu. KC's best steaks now with two locations, 95th and Nall and 135th and Metcalf. You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
Hey, it's Matt Quatrero, and you're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your home for Royals baseball, 96.5 The Fan.
Well, I'll tell you what, my friends over at Aspen.